स्वार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिनाम् मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीम् भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति देव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः अर्जुन एक्सप्रेशन् वास् डिस्क्रैब् वेरि वेल् बै सञ्जय ततः स विस्मयाविष्टः हृष्टरोमा धनञ्जय प्रणम्य शिरसा देवं कृताञ्जलिरभाषत So that is the attitude when we approach God. Tatasa vismaya vishtaha. Arjuna was filled with wonderment when he saw that beautiful sight of the Lord with all his incredible form, which of course we'll be talking more about today. Rishta Roma Dhananjaya, his hair was standing on end. And that is the attitude of a devotee, this wonderment, this amazement at this great, wonderful form of the Lord. And pranamya shirasa devam, and with his hand bowed down, kritanjali rabhashata, with his hands folded. So what that shows is that when we approach the Lord, one should have an attitude of surrender and humility. That, oh Lord, without you, I am nothing. And think about it, the breath we take, you know, we don't breathe, we can't, it just constantly breathes for us. Even at night when we are asleep, the breath is moving. The heart, 72 times a minute for 24 hours, 10 years, 20, 100 years, 80 years, whatever our life is, and the heart keeps on beating. The bone marrow is making cells, the bones are working, the muscles. How many nerves come even just to move a finger, not only the tendons of the finger, then the muscles, the nerves that go, how many things are happening in the left side of my brain. And we think that we are doing it. So this ego has to be surrendered at the feet of the Lord, that Lord, it is because of you that everything is happening. Does not mean I should not have any purushartha, I should not exert any effort. Oh, Bhagavan is doing anything anyway, why should I do anything? The more effort we put in this spiritual directions, the more the grace of the Lord will come upon us. The more I work and do my sadhana, my study, my meditation, my puja, my service, the more the Lord's grace will bless us. It's like the window. The more you open the window, the more the sunlight will come in. If you have drapes, black drapes covering, your room will be dark. So similarly, the Lord's grace is ever available to us. But it is you and I, we keep our minds closed, the drapes of our mind, and we don't let the Lord work through us. So that's, we can see in Arjuna, the total surrender and the humility with which, and even in the, throughout the 11th chapter, we have seen Arjuna asked the Lord with great humility that, Madanugrahaya Parmam Guhya Madhyatman Masangitam. Because of your compassion to me, you have told me all these 10 chapters, all these beautiful messages. And Manyase Yadi Tat Shakyam Maya Drashtu Miti Prabho Yogeshwar Tato Metvam Darshaya Masa. Show me your adhyat, your immense rupa, if you think I am capable. So he is asking for the Lord's grace. And then Bhagavan starts with Pashya me partha rupani shatashota shahastrashah nana vidhani divyani nana varna kritini. He says, you see all these different forms of mine, different forms, different colors, Pashya dityan vasun rudran ashvinav marutashchash. Not only you see the worldly forms, but Bhagavan shows him all the celestial forms, the Rudras, the Marutas, all the gods of the wind, the Ashwini Kumaras. So all the celestial beings and the worldly, everything he can see. And then we saw that Sanjaya then, because the Bhagavan had said, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshuhu Pashya Me Yogam Aishwaram. I give you this divine vision by which you can see the whole world. And we have talked about this divine vision. We'll address it some more today, what exactly is meant by that. And then as it was very quiet, Sanjaya, who is in the palace of the blind king Dhritarashtra, then speaks and he talks about Aneka Bahu Dara Vaktra Netram, you know, Divya Malyam Bharadharam Divya Gandhanu Lepanam Sarvascharya Mayam Devam Anantam Vishvato Bukham. So he says, I see all these divine garlands and these weapons and these beautiful forms of the Lord and all this beauty. And then Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhave Dyoga Padutita Yadi Bhas Sadrishi Sasyat Bhasas Tasya Mahatmana. He says, it is the brilliance of that is so powerful. It is like 100 suns have risen simultaneously. So he says, just as one sun becomes hard to look at, 1,000 suns, sahastra means 1,000 suns as if they have risen. So the whole sky is lit up with this brilliance, but it is not blinding. It is a very soothing form of light. And actually it is not even light. It is the light of understanding. We'll talk about that also today. So light can mean is that there was a brilliant light in the cosmos. Another one is that my understanding was opened, that through the Arjuna's understanding of the universe was opened by the Lord. This is what we have talked so far. So we'll proceed. Verse number 15. This is a different meter. It is called Anushtup Chandaha, and it is used to change the meter so that the student is kept alert, but also when something important has to be said, or when the poet wants to pack a lot of material into a shloka, they use the Anushtup Chanda, which is longer and sung at a higher pitch and a little faster tone. In fact, most of this chapter, because of its importance and because of the beauty of this message, is sung in this Anushtup Chanda. Unlike other chapters, like chapters 1, 2, and 4, you may find one or two shlokas here and there, but this most of it is sung in that. So we'll do verse number 15. Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Pashyami Devanstava Devadehe.
Pashyami Devanstava Devadehe.
Sarvanstatha Bhuta Vishesha Sanghan.
Sarvanstatha Bhuta Vishesha Sanghan.
Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastham.
Brahmanamisham Kamalasanastam.
Rishinscha Sarvanuraganscha Divyan.
Rishinscha Sarvanuraganscha Divyan.
You can pause, we'll all chant together. Pashyami Devanstava Devadehe.
sarvam statha bhuta vishesha sanghan brahmanamisham kamalasanastam rishinscha sarvanuragansha divyan.
So that's the verse number 15, and Arjuna now finally speaks after his mouth is choked and his hair is standing on end and he's just bowing down with meek surrender and humility. Finally, what he speaks and how he speaks it, we can see from this Anushtup Chanda, from this tone, that he is excited and he's just trying to express all that he's seeing at this time. Everything that he's seeing, he's trying to express it, and he's trying to express it in his words. And we see the excitement in him. What is he seeing? So he says, Pashyami, I see. What do I see? Oh, Devan. Devan, I see all the gods where Tava Dehe. O Deva, O Lord, O Bhagwan Sri Krishna, in your body I see all the gods, all the celestial gods, Sarvams, all the gods I see. Tatha Bhuta Vishesha Sanghan. Bhuta means all the beings. Bhuta also means the ghosts and goblins and demons. But here he says, I see all beings. Bhuta, sab Bhutaha. Where? In your body. And the collection of all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, demons, the lower worlds and the gods and the all the divine beings, everything I see. And then I see Brahma, Brahmanam, that is, Brahmanam is Brahmaji. Then Isham, Isham is Lord Shiva. And Kamala Sanastham, Kamala San, Asana Stham. Kamala Asanastham is Lord Vishnu. So he says, I see in your form, O Lord, because here Lord Krishna represents the supreme reality. So in him are all Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu and Lord Mahesh. Even though Sri Krishna was an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, but in this divine form, he sees all three of them. And that is the beauty of this cosmic being. And Rishin, and I see all the Rishis, Narad Rishi, Bharadwaj, Kapila Muni, Vyasa, Vishwamitra, everybody I see, all the great Rishis, Vasishtha Rishi, and Sarvan, and Uraganscha Divyan, and I see Uraga. Uraga means snakes. Now, in Sanskrit, no word is just given. Uraga is a very interesting word. Ura means chest and ga means one who goes. So one who goes on his chest is a snake. And as we know, how does the snake move? Doesn't have any legs, crawls on his legs, on his chest. So that's the Sanskrit. No word is given just like that. No name is given just randomly. Every word has a meaning and has an origin. So Uraga means one who goes with his chest. So he says, I see all the serpents, all the... So the point is that from the highest, as Gurudev says, from the sublime to the ridiculous, from the highest to the lowest, everything is described in this one verse where he says, I see this in this body. Now, when this body, then we think that, oh, maybe Bhagwan Shri Krishna was standing and in his body. So now there are 7 million bodies. So there is one more body called Shri Krishna where this celestial cosmic form is seen. No, all the great teachers tell us, especially Gurudev, that when they mean the body, though, what they mean is that the entire universe is the body of Lord. And Arjuna, in his vision, was able to see the entire universe right there. And everything was in this divine form, even the celestial beings, even the lower worlds. In that vision, he was able to see everything. So body does not mean that in that body of Shri Krishna, which was say 6 feet tall and however how much size he was, But the body means the body of this supreme consciousness. So whatever you see, if you go out in your backyard, you see a tree, that is God's body. You see a flower, a bird flying, you see the sky, the clouds, the sun, the moon, everything is his body, his celestial being's body. And so what it shows us that there are two terms, vyashti and samashti. Vyashti means me, the individual. Samashti means the totality. So Arjuna sees himself as a part of the totality, that he does not see any difference between me and the totality. You and I, when we go out in the backyard and we say, okay, I am here, I'm seeing the moon, the stars at night, or I'm seeing the sun and the clouds, but there I am seeing as separate. But the true Divya Drishti, the divine vision, is to see myself as a part of this totality, as that I am not separate from this totality. That is true Divya Drishti. That is the true divine vision. Otherwise, if you and I think of myself separate, then that wisdom is no longer there. I have to lose my individuality in the totality. Lose does not mean that I don't do what I'm supposed to do, but I don't see any difference between me and my neighbor or the plants and everybody. See that oneness. How do we get that? From living with Mahatmas, meeting with these great saints. When somebody asked Guruji, you know, he, Swami Tejomayananda ji, he lived with Swami Chinmayananda for a long time. In fact, he traveled with him extensively and spent several years studying from him. And somebody asked him, what is the thing that you remember most about Pujya Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda? And somebody would say, you know, his oratory, his ability to speak, his English, his command over the scriptures. Guruji said, none of these. He said, all I remember is the love he had in his eyes for me. And that's what these great saints do. They have love, spontaneous love for everybody, for all of us. So that's what he said, I remember the most. He didn't say anything about it. Of course, he was, you know, he learned so much from him. But the true mark of saintliness is to see that oneness, to love everybody spontaneously. So the knowledge can only come from where we have love and where we have connection. This love connection or this connection of oneness is very important for knowledge. And right now, without right knowledge, one cannot function in this world, whether it's in the material world or in the spiritual world. Talking about right knowledge, having the right understanding, this man was traveling in the train from Los Angeles to New York. It was a cross-country train, and his neighbor was there. And so the train started from Los Angeles and stopped in Denver. And this neighbor, the other guy, quickly got out of the train, ran to the ticket booth, bought a ticket, and came back. He said, what happened? So anyway, he came back. So the ticket checker came. So this man gave him the ticket from Denver. And he was surprised. Why did he run and buy a ticket? He said, maybe he, you know, forgot. And then the train stopped in Chicago. And then again, this guy runs out, buys another ticket, comes back, and ticket checker comes, he shows him the ticket. And this first guy, of course, had bought a ticket from LA to New York. And train stops in Philadelphia. Again, this guy runs out, goes out, buys a ticket, comes back. And then fourth time, the train is almost to New York. And he says, why do you keep running out and buying ticket every time? You know, you go and you come back, go and come back. Why do you do that? He said, oh, my doctor told me I should not travel long distance. So he's traveling short distances. So what the doctor said, you have to know what is being said. So similarly, when the wise people tell us, or when the Mahatmas or the teachers tell us, one should have the right understanding. And that can only come when we identify our mind with the teacher, or in this case, with the Lord, Sri Krishna, as he's giving the message. But why does Bhagwan start with all these heavenly bodies and not with divine. Suppose he had shown him a dog or a cat or a tree. Arjuna said, I already have seen these. You know, if you want to show me something special. See, kuch dikhao khas hai, no? Ye kya? Billi kutta to I see all the time. So in Hindi, there is a saying, bina chamatkar nahi namaskar. So if you want somebody to get respect, you have to show some chamatkar, something wonderful. Then only they'll say, oh yeah, this is a great Mahatma. So that's why Bhagwan, not that he needs, you know, his appreciation, but he wants Arjuna's attention. So he starts with the highest, best things. But then I say, you know, I'm waiting for Bhagwan to come and show me this divine rule. Then only I will attain enlightenment. They say it's not necessary. It's not necessary for you to have darshan of Bhagwan. If he comes, it's good. If not, it's not necessary. It's not necessary for you to be blessed by this. Actually, we are blessed by this divine vision. It's the vision of knowledge where I can see the totality. That's what this message tells us. For Arjuna, Bhagwan Shri Krishna was there, but for us, Gurudev is there, who has translated this Gita for us and given us this message that while sitting in your house, you can see, look around your room and everything is God. You know, the computer, the chair, the table, the bed, everything is Him, the windows. All we have to do is remove I and mine. The ego, because it is the ego that which separates me from others and separates me from God. And so this is me and this is my house. This is my car. This is my body, my clothes, my money, my this. As long as this I and my is there, this ego is functional, it will separate us. So this chapter is allowing us to reduce our ego and become one with the totality, to reduce I and mine and see everything as he and his. And we'll talk about that in the next few shlokas. So we'll do verse number 16.
Aneka bahu daravaktra netram.
Aneka bahu daravaktra netram.
Pashyami tvam sarvato nantarupam.
Pashyami tvam sarvato nantarupam.
Nantam na madhyam na punastavadim.
Nantam na madhyam na punastavadim.
Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa.
Pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa.
All together.
Aneka bahu daravaktra netram pashyami tvam sarvato nantarupam nantam na madhyam na punastavadim pashyami Vishveshwara Vishwarupa.
So Arjuna is now continuing, but he is just running from topic to topic because his mind is just overwhelmed by this vision. So he says from there, now he's going to the different parts of this divine vision. Aneka bahu. Aneka means innumerable arms he sees. Vaktra. Dara. Dara means face, stomachs. So he sees in this innumerable arms. Innumerable arms means hands. And then dara means stomachs. Vaktra means mouths or faces, and netram means eyes. So I see innumerable hands and stomachs and mouths and eyes. And pashyami, and what do I see? Pashyami, tvam, sarvata. Sarvata means everywhere. Whatever I see is nothing but your ananta rupa, infinite form, unending, infinite, continuous form. And what is the nature of this form? He again describes, na antam, I don't see the end, na madhyam, na middle, na punastva adim, and I don't even see the beginning of this. So I don't know where you start, where is the middle, where is the end. Like when we say space, you know, we are in space. Now, where is the beginning of space, middle of space, end of space? Do we know? No. Where does space end? We don't know. It goes on and on and on and on, trillions of miles. And am I in the middle of space or one end or the other or the beginning? No, I can't. So that's Arjuna's feeling when he sees the form of the Lord. Na antam, na madhyam, na punah tava adim. I don't see the beginning, your middle and your end. And why? Because pashyami vishva ishvara, O the Lord of the universe, I see your cosmic form. I see your vishva rupa. So ananta, and we already talked about that. When we talk about arms, different arms, we think that God, the artists always make a painting that there is this God, you know, and then they make all these people on each side. If you have seen this, you know, the 11 chapter pictures, and that all the hands are there, the legs are there, the faces are there. So that is an artist's pictorial representation. Actually, what this shloka is telling us, that all hands belong to him. He has not 1,000 or 100,000, but 7 billion hands, because there are 7 billion people. All hands are his, all faces are his, all stomachs are his all eyes are his, all of, so we are all hands and feet and faces and of the Lord. And so whatever I am doing is God's work. So that understanding, whatever I'm seeing is God, whatever I'm speaking is God, whatever I'm hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, walking, talking, that is the Vishwa Rupa. And they say that this has to be realized, not perceived. Gurudev says it very beautifully. Perceive means that Arjuna with his eyes could see everything. You can't, because it is so vast. It is so one has to realize. So it is an intellectual understanding. It is not a visual understanding that suddenly I'll be able to see God's Vishwarupa where everything is that. No, right now also I am seeing God's Vishwarupa, because whatever I am seeing is God. So that's why it says it has to be realized, not perceived. It is an intellectual understanding. That is called Divya Drishti. It is intellectual understanding, not a visual understanding. Samarth Ramdas was a great saint of Maharashtra. Guruji Swami Tejo Mayanandaji quotes him all the time. Says it very beautifully. There's a long paragraph which I'll summarize, where Swamiji says, Samarth Ramdas ji says, he says, that when you see an individual, don't see his body or her body, see the divine entity within. And whatever you see, whoever you see, even a rock, everything has this divine entity within. And once you see that, then you see the oneness. That is the only way. Otherwise, the bodies are different. You know, male is different from female. A dog is different from a cat and from a monkey. They're all different. The trees are different, mountains are different. But when you see the divinity within, that is the only way to see the oneness. And Samarth Ramdas ji also says, he says, and this, you don't have to be in a divine place, like maybe sitting in the Himalayas or in the forest in deep meditation to perceive the oneness. You should be able to perceive it in the marketplace. When you are at work, when you are functioning and dealing with people. That is, we say, Gita class mein toh it is very clear, you know, when we leave. But then this same vision that we hear, we should carry with us as we deal with people in our family, in our relationships, at work. So that is called true Divya Drishti. That is that divine vision to see it everywhere. So that is so far what we have studied. Now we'll go to verse number 17. Kiritinam gadinam chakrinancha.
Kiritinam gadinam chakrinancha.
Tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam.
Tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam.
Pashyami tvam durnirikshyam samantat.
Pashyami tvam durniriksham samantad.
Deeptanalarkadyutimaprameyam. Together. Kiritinam gadinam chakrinancha. Tejo rashim sarvato deeptimantam. Pashyami tvam durniriksham samantat. Deeptanalarkadyutimaprameyam. So he says, I see Kiritinam. Kiritinam is the crown. So here now he's seeing Lord Vishnu in that form very clearly. Lord Vishnu wearing the crown and Gada and Chakra. Gada is the mace, like the with which, you know, which is used in war to hit somebody. And Chakra is the chakra that Sri Vishnu carries, which Sudarshan Chakra, which can cut and destroy everybody. So he says, I see Lord Vishnu with his crown, with his gada, mace, with the chakra. And then Tejo Rashim, and this form, this total mass of brilliance I see, Sarvato, shining everywhere. I just see this brilliant shining light, that is Sarvataha, everywhere. And I see what? Pashyami Tvam Durnirikshyam Samanta. All around I see this form which is very, very difficult for me to look at. That is one meaning. Other meaning is that it is very rare for people to get an opportunity. It is so hard to get. So he is very thankful to the Lord that I am able to see this, which is very difficult. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna, in the end of the chapter, he will say, even great rishis and meditators do not get a chance to experience what you have. Durniriksham samantat deepta anala larka. So the light, anala fire, and arka means the sun. So the sun, so there are three lights. One is this light, then there is the fire, and then there is the sun. So he says all lights are you. Dutim, the light is you, and it is aprameyam. It is incomprehensible. It cannot be described. So in the symbolism of Bhagwan Sri Vishnu, it is said he has four hands, and in each hand he has four different things. So in the one hand he has lotus, in the second one he has a conch, you know, that you blow, called shank. Then he has the gada, which you can hit somebody on the head. And then he has this Sudarshan Chakra, which can cut anything. So he says that Bhagwan carries the lotus, which represents beauty and auspiciousness. Lotus is always worshipped, is used in worship, because it is considered to be a very holy flower. So Bhagwan is with this conch, he is blowing the conch and calling us that come to me, I have all beauty and auspiciousness. So he first politely calls us, you know, through the message of the Gita, through the gurus, that come to the Lord. So he will call. And what is Lord? All beauty and auspiciousness, like the lotus. In fact, many places, Arjuna says, you have lotus eyes, you know, to Lord Shri Krishna. So first he will call, but you say, I am too busy, I have time nahi hai. You know, I'm so busy, you don't know how busy I am. We say we are busy, but then on the phone, we have no problem talking 45 minutes to somebody, right? Or just surfing the net, just keep on. And then we, when it comes to spirituality, I don't have time to get up in the morning and meditate. Kiske paas time hai? You know, maybe after age 65. After age 65, first of all, as we said, you may not be around. And even if you are around 65, 70, then it's hard to learn new things. So start right now. Of course, there are some of us who are beyond it. But the point is, wherever you hear about this, start from today itself, that no matter what age I am, from today onwards, I'm going to make my life geared towards God. So that's what this message represents. So if we don't listen, you know, to the conch and don't listen to the guru, then Bhagwan says, Gada, now you need a blow on the head. And what is that? That is sorrow. sorrow will come when we don't turn our mind towards God. When we turn our mind towards God, even if sorrow comes, it won't affect us because God will relieve the blow of that sorrow. But we don't listen, so blow comes on the head, you know, get up. And it can be in the form of sickness or any physical injury, mental problem, financial problem, you know, or earthquakes, you know, well, all these problems we are seeing, you know, different hurricanes, what we are seeing in Texas. So these kind of sorrows are Bhagwan's gada that gives a blow on the head that Abhita Urja, at least now you wake up and come to me. But even if we don't, even then, even after suffering, after problem, I still blame this person, that person. Don't understand that it is to wake up, then comes the chakra. And what is chakra? It is the Kal chakra. Chakra is the one that destroys, and it is Kala, it is time that I will lose the body. Finally, I will lose this life. Chakra means it cuts off my head. Head does not mean that Bhagwan Vishnu will send a chakra. What they mean is Kala chakra, the chakra of time. So ultimately, if you don't listen, then your time for death will come. This body you drop and start all over again. You know, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jathre Shayanam. Again, you find a mother's womb and you enter and start all over again. So that's the symbolism of four arms of Bhagwan Vishnu and his four things that he has in his hand. And as we said, it is a mass of radiance, brilliance. And the light was so strong that Arjuna was almost blinded. So Gurudev says it's not only physically he could not see, but even mentally and intellectually, he just did not know what to think, what to feel. Can you imagine suddenly if you there is God in front of you with all this, how what would be our reaction? So that was Arjuna. That's why Arjuna was so blessed that he was a great devotee of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. And he requested, and so he was able to see that. And through the Bhagavad Gita, we are all able to experience a little bit of what Arjuna went through Sanjaya and through Bhagwan Vedvyasji, who has written the Bhagavad Gita. So he says it is aprameyam. Aprameyam means incomprehensible. Because all great Mahatmas, I think a couple of weeks back, I had spoken about the different saints who had spoken about God. And they all say that what I have seen, what I have experienced is incomprehensible. I cannot understand it. I cannot even describe it. I cannot even talk about it. Yet all the great saints, all the Vedas and the Upanishads and all the Vanis and all the teachings are trying to describe the indescribable, the incomprehensible. It is the Guru's grace or the Mahatma's or the prophet's grace that he or she is trying to describe this so that you and I may also be inspired to try and reach that same vision, to see that, to experience that. So these scriptures are for our inspiration. It's not that. And again, they say, this is something I cannot describe, but I'm still trying to describe so that you may also do that. So it is aprameyam. And again, one should understand that the Lord cannot be seen as an object, even though here Arjuna experiences that, but actually God is the subject. It is the one within, the antaryami, the inner controller, the inner light of knowledge, which illumines everything. That's why, you know, Natatra Suryo Bhati Navinda Gayatri Mantra, we say that Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. One light is the light of the sun, another light is the light within, which illumines my eyes and my ears and my speech and my hands and my feet. So the Lord is the subject. So Lord should be known as the subject, not as an object that somehow God should appear before me. God is with me at all times. He's talking right now. He's listening through me. So God is the subject not an object. And that is the difference between science and religion. Science will tell us that everything is one. You know, we are all atoms, as we had talked last week, electrons, protons, neutrons. So science also takes us to the oneness at the submolecular level, at the atomic level, at proton, neutron, electron. We are all one. And religion takes us through love. That through love, when you love God, then you love everything that God has made. So the goal of science and religion is not separate. Science at the basic level, physics takes you to oneness, and so does the Bhagavad Gita, so does spirituality. So it is one, and that is what is the message of this shloka. Verse number 18, we'll chant. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam.
Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam.
Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam.
Tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam.
Tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gopta.
Tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gopta.
Sanatanas tvam purusho mato me.
Sanatanas tvam purusho mato me.
Together, tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam. Tvam asya vishvasya param nidhanam. Tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gopta. Sanatanastvam purusho mato me. So mato me, so it is my opinion, Arjuna says, you are aksharam, tvam aksharam. Tvam aksharam means you are indestructible, imperishable, eternal. And you are the supreme, paramam. And you are veditavyam. When the pratyaya comes, tavyam means must be done. So he says, if anything that should be known in this life, know God, veditavyam. That is the most important goal of my life, is to know God, reach God, realize God, become one with God, and surrender myself to God through service, through love, through knowledge, all of those. So you are veditavyam. You are the only thing that is to be known. And who are you, Bhagavan? You are tvam. Asya vishvasya, of this world, the sixth case of this world, you are the param nidhanam, you are the supreme abode, the supreme treasure house. The whole universe is in you. And you are avyaya. Avyaya means you are immutable, there is no change. See, you and I, we are constantly changing from childhood, youth, middle age, old age, and then ultimately death. You know, they say there are vigaras, you know, six modifications, but in Bhagavan, there is no modification, avyaya. And you are shashvata dharma gopta. Shashvata means the eternal dharma. You know, that's why our Hindu is not the correct word. Actually, it is sanatan dharma. It is the eternal dharma. But you are the protector of that, gopta. Gopta means you are the one that protects this eternal dharma. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Everybody knows that. Abhyuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So whenever dharma is on the decline and adharma is increasing, Bhagavan says, I manifest. So he says, you are the shashvat dharma gopta and you are sanatan. You are eternal, you are always there, you will be there, and you are the Purusha, Sanatana Purusha, you are the eternal Purusha. We'll talk about what is Purusha. Purusha here does not mean man, but what it is, we'll talk. That is my opinion. So when he says Akshara, he's referring to the eighth chapter. The eighth chapter is called Akshara Brahma. So Arjuna was a good student. He remembered what Bhagavan had said in the eighth chapter, that I am the Akshara Brahma, and now he's saying it in the 11th chapter. For us, we come to every class with a clean slate. Do you remember what was said last week? We don't. Every class we come with a fresh, clean slate. Kuch bhi yaad nahi. So how do we remember? By this book. I keep showing it. Read, please, after the class, read what Gurudev has written, read the shlokas, and every day read some shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita. There are 18 chapters, there are 700 shlokas. So if you read 2 shlokas a day, you will in 1 year read the entire Bhagavad Gita. But whatever has been discussed, either read it before or read it afterward. That is the only way to remember. Otherwise, listening one time once a week, it's not going to work. So that's why Arjuna is a good student. He remembers what Bhagwan had said in the 8th chapter. So he says, you are Aksharam and Paramam. You are the supreme, highest, and you are the one to be known. We already talked about that. And Tvam Asya Vishvasya Param Nidhanam. You are the eternal abode, support of this universe. The universe arises from you and merges back into you, just as the ocean is the nidhanam of the waves. All waves arise in the ocean, are sustained by the ocean and merge back into the ocean. So you are that from which everything has emerged. Whatever we see has come from you and will merge back into you. That's why death has nothing to be feared. I came from God, I'm going back to God. Then what is to worry about? What we worry is, oh, I'm going to leave my money and my stock market and my 401k and my wife and my children and my grandchildren. Oh, who will? Bhagwan will take care of them. When it's time to go, we should go happily. I came from God, I'm going back to God. And that's what we see with these great saints. They have no fear, they become fearless. And then he says, you are immutable, unchangeable. We have talked about that. In Bhagwan, there is no change. And you are the Shashwata Dharma Gopta, this eternal Dharma that has been coming for ages and centuries and billions of years. It is Bhagwan who is the origin of this Dharma and the protector of. So that's why we just talked. He said, you know, yada yada hi. So the Dharma is truly protected by God. You know, does not need weapons or arms, or that's why so many invaders came and attacked India, you know, all the different from Muslims, Christians, you know, all the other, the Afghans, the Pathans, but the Sanatan Dharma prevailed, persisted, even though people tried anything and everything. Why? Because it is protected by God himself. And you are this ancient Purusha, Sanatana Purusha. What do we mean by Purusha? Purusha, one meaning is like Purusha and Stri, man and woman. But here, when the word Purusha is used in spirituality, we are a combination of Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti is matter, Purusha is the consciousness within. So all of us are a combination of Purusha and Prakriti. It's not male or female, but everything, even an animal, even a plant, has both, has the matter and energy, matter and consciousness. So the goal of spirituality and the goal of this life is to go within and discover the inner Purusha, the inner light of consciousness. And that's what we do in meditation, that we try to discover my true nature. And that is what he says. You are that eternal Purusha that all great sages, Mahatmas, seekers, all sadhakas, those who are performing the spiritual sadhana, they are all seeking that. And you are the subject, you are the inner light of consciousness. And that is my opinion, Arjuna says. That is my humble opinion, and I am so glad that I was able to experience what is the subject as the totality. But we don't, as I said, all we have to do is turn inward and see God, and look outward and see God. Antar bahishcha tat sarvam vyapta narayana tishthati. The Bhagwan Sri Narayana is inside and outside both. We'll do the last verse today, verse number 19. Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam.
Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam.
Ananta bahum shashi surya netram.
Ananta bahum shashi surya netram.
Pashyamitvam dita hutasha vaktram.
Pashyamitvam dita hutasha vaktram.
Svatejasa vishvamidam tapantam.
Svatejasa vishvamidam tapantam.
So again, Arjuna is just so amazed by this that he's just repeating things and he's just so confused because he's trying to describe for us what beautiful. So he says, Anadi Madhya Anta. I don't see the beginning, I don't see the middle, I don't see the end. You say, you just told us that. Yeah, but you know, like when you see something wonderful, you say, ah, it was so beautiful, it was so wonderful. You come back from some trip, Alaska or something, and you've seen some wondrous sights, or from Mount Kailash when we went, and you meet somebody, you keep again and again describing it because it's like your mind is boggled. So anadi madhyantam, without beginning, middle and end, ananta viryam, and superior power, unending power. That's why they say God is not only omniscient, he's omnipotent. Omniscient means he knows everything that is happening because he's the inner voice of consciousness, but also he's omnipotent. There is nothing that God cannot do. That's why in Bal Vihar we have a song, my God is so great, so strong and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. We teach that to our little children. It's a very beautiful song. You must have heard in Bal Vihar when they perform. So you are the Ananta Viryam. You have supreme power. Ananta Bahum. And you, all the arms, hands are yours. This reminds me of a very beautiful story. There's little time, so I'll tell you. So when Bhagwan Sri Krishna was born, and then he was taken by his father, Vasudev, to Nand Baba and Yashoda mother's house and left there. Then in those days, they used to name the child after 1 year. They wouldn't give the child name first. That was the custom. So when Sri Krishna Bhagwan became 1 year old, his parents didn't know that this is Bhagwan himself in our house. They just treated him like any other child. So they called Garga Rishi, you know, who was a very great Rishi at that time. They said, oh, Maharaj, can you please come and give a suitable name to this boy? You know, nowadays also people go to Swami Ishwarananji and say, Swamiji, can you give us a name for my son or daughter? So they had a big feast, you know, on his first birthday because we're going to give him a name. And they invited Garga Rishi, and Garga Rishi comes to name this child. And he sees that this child is the Supreme Lord. He could recognize because he was himself a very evolved. So he immediately falls down on his knees and starts weeping. And he just bowed down and to this little child. And they say, what happened to this Rishi? You know, he's down on his knees with his arms folded and tears are running down. What's wrong? What happened? What happened? Did we do something wrong? And finally, he sits up and they say, Maharaj, what happened? Why are you in this state? You know, he says, you are calling me to give a name. This person I'm naming already has 1,000 names, you know, Vishnu Sahastra Nama. He says, this is Bhagwan Vishnu himself. Who am I to give a name to this, you know, because all names are his. In fact, they say it's not only 1,000 names, he has 7 billion names. And all our names are Bhagwan's name. So Garga Rishi says, kya bol rahe ho? What are you trying to? But then, of course, then he finally controls himself and then he names the older brother Balram. You know, Sri Krishna's older brother was named Balram. And then he gave the name Krishna. So the point is that these great rishis are able to experience that beauty of that, of the vastness of this Bhagwan. It's a very touching story. I was very inspired, so I thought I'll share it with you. So he says, Ananta Bahum, all hands are yours, Shashi Surya Netram, and the sun and moon are your eyes. So there are different meanings. You know, one is that the sun illumines the day and the moon illumines the night. So all day and night lights are yours. They are your eyes. Other meaning is that sun represents original light and moon represents reflected light. What is moon? It is sunlight reflected. Also the conditioned light, like this bulb you are seeing, that is conditioned light. So the infinite light you are, and the moon and the bulb and the lamp and the candle, all lights you are, they are your eyes. Other meaning, as we said, when we say light, it's not only the visible light, but it is the light of awareness that makes me aware of what I see, hear, smell, taste, touch. That light you are. Pashyami Tvam Deepta Huta Shavaktram. Pashyami, what do I see? Tvam Deepta Huta Shavaktram. I see your mouth with fire emerging. So slowly, the description is changing. First, all he saw was beauty, right? Now he's seeing fire coming out. He said, what does this mean? What is the meaning of fire coming out of your mouth? Why is your mouth on fire? He sees that. And Swatejasa, and by your Tejas, Vishwam Idam Tapantam, this whole universe is heated by your Tejas, by your heat, by your brilliance. So what does that mean? So he says that we already talked about that all arms are his, and the sun and moon are his light, and the mouth represents heat, because you know, hot food you can eat, and the mouth also represents speech. You know, they say that when you speak, your temperature goes up. You know, that's why even I feel warm. Actually, after 1 hour of speaking, my whole body becomes warm because of the heat of this, the speech. And so mouth represents heat, and from the Lord's mouth, he's seeing fire coming out. And he says, this whole world is warmed by your heat. That means we are all dependent on Bhagwan. Because if we don't maintain our body temperature at 98.6, if it becomes too cold, we can't survive. If it becomes too hot, we still can't survive. That's why when athletes get heat stroke, you know, they sometimes die, because their heart goes into arrhythmia and all. So the perfect temperature that is maintained in us, and not only that, but the sun is maintaining the temperature of this earth. If earth becomes too hot, it will become like Mercury, get burnt. Or if it becomes too cold, it will become like Mars, you know, which is minus some 80 degrees all the time. So the earth is maintained at a perfect temperature, and that is because of the Lord's heat. Now, what is the meaning of this fire coming out of your mouth? Why Arjuna is seeing the fire, we'll talk about next week. What is the fire, and what is the message that Bhagwan is sending to him and through him to us? Why is this fire coming out of the mouth, and what is the... So what will happen is the tone will change from everything rosy and beautiful. Now we will see the truth, and we will see, because Arjuna wanted to know that what will be the future. Am I going to win, or are the Pandavas going to win, or the Kauravas are going to win? You know, will I survive, or will Karna survive, or Drona or Bhishma? So all those answers Bhagwan will give us in the next couple of weeks. So we'll see what is the meaning of fire, and what is the answer to Arjuna's question that who will win. So we'll see that next week, and continue this beautiful description of, it's not only the form, but the message that we take is important. Again, it may look repetitious, but the idea is that this message should become clear to us. And that's why I try to put some stories and jokes and all, to so that it doesn't become too repetitious, and different examples. But they are just meant to illustrate the same point. So thank you very much. We have time if there's any questions, comments.
question.
Huh?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this Ashwini Kumaras and Marutas, can you elaborate on them as to who they are, what entities they are?
Sure, sure. So Marutas are the gods of the wind. You know, there are 9 different kinds of wind, like hurricane, cyclone, storm, calm wind. That's why when Hanumanji went to Lanka and he lit fire to Lanka with his tail, burning tail, he invoked the Marutas. And so all the 9 Marutas came, the gods of the wind. And there was so much wind that the fire spread to the entire Lanka. So just with his one flame, the entire Lanka was burned. So Marutas are the gods of the wind. Ashwini Kumaras are said to be the divine horsemen. The divine horsemen representing day and night, the dawn and the night. So these are the gods that bless us. So that's why they say you should do puja at the dawn. You know, early morning time is said to be a very spiritual time, because the Ashwini Kumaras are blessing. So they bless the devotees either in the morning or they do Sandhya Vandana. You know, in all our temples, they do worship early in the morning. And then at Sandhya, when the sun is setting, so the Ashwini Kumaras, the 2 horsemen, are there at the day, beginning of the day and at the end of the day. So it is said that they bring dawn and they bring night. So Ashwini Kumaras are the celestial horsemen that bless us at the time. And then Rudras, of course, are the gods of destruction. You know that. Yeah. Anything else?
Thank you very much for that explanation. That's why probably Hanumanji is also called Maruti.
Yes, Maruti, and he's the son of the wind god, Pavan Putra, because of that. Yes, so Maruti. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Natatra suryo bhanti na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yamagnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam mitam vibhati arati shri chinmaya satguru ki divya rupa murati karuna ki आरति सद्गुरु की शरणों में उनकी शांति समाए शरणागति की प्रांति मिठाए पाप ताप संताप हरण की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीता को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया शुद्ध नीति प्रीति शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्ध भारी के तपो भूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद श्रोत की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की
बोलिए श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की जय बोलिए श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय एवरीबडी कैन प्लीज टेक द आरती थैंक यू सुधा इफ यू कैन प्लीज डू द क्लोजिंग प्रेयर आल्सो कायेन वाचा थैंक यू
कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावा करोमि यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि ॐ सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्
ॐ असतो मा सत्कमय
tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityoma mritam gamaya om shanti 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 hi hari om shri gurubhyo namaha hari om
thank you very much thank you everybody